Welcome, everybody. This is SharePoint App Weekly. This is episode, I have no idea where we are.
58.
58. Okay. Fair point. It is 4th. Is it 4th? 4th of November.
Yes, it is.
November? Yes, it is. 4th of November, Monday. Ignite keynote has already happened. It is it's actually 1:30 p.m. on Monday morning in the local time in Orlando. And keynote already happened, and the first kind of follow-up sessions are already happening or have happened already in Ignite. So we're going to talk about the Ignite announcements today as well. You, Waldeck, are you having a massive fear of missing out moment at home? Or are you like, this is fine?
Well, no, especially what surprised me, though, is that a while back. So that's actually literally what I thought today. Like a few years back, I would be like really upset of not being able to be there.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I'm like the content, it will be all available anyway. All of the announcements are there.
Sure.
Like you won't learn anything new because everything was either already announced or will be announced or things like in preview and all of that. So like the only thing you really miss is to meet everybody. And it's like, there will be another event. There will be another time and place. So it's like to be honest, I'm perfectly fine.
Yep. Yeah. And there's always you can actually meet the people in virtual way as well. Like right now, what we're doing. And that's the beauty of all of this tooling and technology and everything else. It almost feels like we're sitting on the same room. So.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there's also this cool side to be able to hang out together and talk and about like not via stream, because I do this the whole day, right? So it's somebody it's nice to go out and meet somebody in real life, real person, and talk maybe about other things than just work.
Yeah,
no,
not getting recorded on what you're actually talking and all of that stuff, right?
I'm perfectly fine with that. It's like not first, not the last time, huh?
Yeah. That's true. That is true. Yeah. We have what is 25,000 people. It is Ignite is fully booked again, which is quite nice. The structure is slightly different this year. So the keynote room is actually on the same room as where we have booths, which is slightly weird. But you can actually, if anybody's watching the keynote recording, you can see Satya in the stage or then hanging in the booth areas or doing we jump between the theaters. In the hub area, which is kind of cool. So Basati was on the main stage saying, and next, whoever lady is talking in theater 4, and then we poof, zoomed into the theater 4, and then we just that was streamed online. So that was kind of a cool setup.
Huh.
So something completely, let's say, new or different. And they used some of the smaller booths as well. So they had some, I think Microsoft 365 was, as an example, covered in a smaller kind of a, what is it, a library kind of a book, booth.
So in other words, there was no way for you to get a premium seat for a keynote because the keynote was spread across different areas and then like you couldn't be all over the place.
I think it was 3,000 seats on front of the main stage, and we were watching it in our booth because it was streamed in every single screen. So 3,000 selected people got to be on the front of the main stage.
Wow.
Katya was not actually there for the most of the time because he was in a different location. So it's kind of odd.
Yeah, it's like you would have hoped. Yeah, I'm gonna sit like really close to the CEO of Microsoft, and then you weren't.
Yep. Because all of the demos were not happening on the main stage; they were happening throughout the different section. Kind of cool. Some of the things, and I think we spent more time on the Azure side of the house, and there was a lot of actually Azure infrastructural announcements as well. So people can easily build local Azure instances to their company, which is one of those things which is, let's say, 99.9% of customers will never do that. But those who need it, it's good to have it. So then you're able to move truly their applications of VMs from the cloud to the on-prem and on-prem to the cloud just with a click of a button. But really cool. But it's one of those things where I think 99% of the audience is like, yeah, cool, but it's not for me.
Will you ever need that? I mean maybe you are like in this select group of folks who do need that, right? I mean, it's good to know that should this ever come up in discussion, you can say yes, Microsoft supports that. So
absolutely.
So in other words, there was a group of 3,000 folks who got a premier seat for the biggest screen at the event.
Yeah. Pretty much. Exactly. They were feeding then the screen on the front. So it was kind of a weird. I think it was Luca or Everett, who's my manager, who said it, or Dan Kogan. We were watching that on the same location. Who said it, that it's pretty weird to get a premium seat to the largest and watch the Satya for being not on the stage, and he was somewhere else. So on the well, but you get access, like you said, you've got access on the largest television on the room. So
yeah, exactly. So I mean, that counts for something.
Yeah, I didn't have a time to walk through the whole hub. It is once again a massive area of different booths and Microsoft things and events and community sections and all of that stuff. So I still need to walk around there later today. To be fair, I also have a second booth duty today, so I'll be there later today. So catch me there today afternoon. No, actually, you don't, because we are streaming this live on Tuesday.
So where will you be on Wednesday?
On Wednesday, I think I will be there actually in the morning. So that is
there.
True.
You go.
There is true. I will double check this from my booking. Just double checking so I can confirm this. Actually, it is 3:30, which I have on Wednesday. So, but anyway, I'm in the booth again.
Perfect. So whenever you have anything to ask regarding SharePoint framework, SharePoint development, Office 365 development, Microsoft 365 development, you got to be at the which one of the booths?
We have the, what is it? It's SharePoint BMP, SPFX BMP graph files booth. It's a combined booth for everything in OneDrive SharePoint.
And on Wednesday, 3:30 p.m.
Yeah. We actually had an opportunity of having multiple booths, but then we had a problem of resourcing these things, and we didn't want this time to really demand our MVPs to stand on a booth, and maybe we'll do that next time for volunteering basis. So we'll see how it goes next time, but this time
and I guess it's also like when people ask things, my experience is that it's rarely an it's very specific thing. I have an issue, or I want to ask something about that. They want to ask about this, and it also includes this, and that. And it's easier when the booth is joined, because other people from other areas can also chime in with their experience, and it gives the person who has the question a more broader overview, as opposed to, yeah, but I am only expert in this one nugget. If you want to do something else, you got to go to that booth there.
Yeah. So. Agree on that. Now,
up until now, you've done the pre-day and you've done part of the day one of the event. What is the overall atmosphere?
Well, it's really hard to tell at this point. The pre-day, obviously, there wasn't that many people in the venue in general. Yesterday, there was 87 people attending on the Microsoft 365 developer preview pre-day. Wasn't a preview, it was a pre-day around the development where we covered Graph, Microsoft Teams, SharePoint Framework, and then adaptive cards.
Any TLDR around like what was discussed, what was shown?
Well, we showed some of the stuff which was announced this morning as well. We'll talk about all of the announcements in a second. We also talked about the future of things, but then also covered just the basics, because that's one of the challenges of these pre-days, especially in the conferences size of Ignite, is that you get a really diverse audience. So it's some of the people are there, they never heard about these things before, they had no experience, and then some of the people are super experienced. And it's like really hard to balance out what are we going to cover. And then combining Craft Teams and a SharePoint, I think it was a good idea to actually combine them, because that's really the holy circle, so to say, from a development perspective. Not necessarily that you're targeting even SharePoint, but you're using the SharePoint framework tooling, because that's now getting promoted as the de facto tooling for Microsoft 365 level, or one of the options, but especially for enterprise developers. So I think it's a smart way of having a one day where that's being concentrated on. But the problem, like I said, is really balancing out the level. Is it 100?
Right.
300. Are we going to throw some just ideas to them and then hope that they will get back to the documentation and materials, which is and one option to do. We don't want to do hands-on labs on pre-days because that's a logistical nightmare. Never has been successfully pretty much done in Ignite. It's just way too hard. You start by the day of sharing the logging details to a tenant for every single attendee, and then they start downloading sample packages and all of that stuff, and then that fills out the Wi-Fi, and then...
Whenever you have labs, like, there's people downloading things, and then people cannot install things because the corporate policies do not allow installing things, and there is version mismatch, there's patches and updates, and at the end of the day, as you said, like, it's not a great experience neither for attendees or presenters.
Yep. Yeah, it is one of those super risky, really hard thing to deliver in the scale of 100 attendees. It's just, it's always a nightmare. So yeah. I don't think it's never been really truly successfully done, unless you do hands-on labs or say individual exercises. So please come here, here's a computer, do your hands-on lab on your own time, not following up on what's happening on the screen. That's a logistical nightmare, really. Yeah. And that's also like, so has everybody gone through step number one? I haven't. We are already doing and all of that. So it doesn't work for me. Can somebody help? So it's just...
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty okay. I think there's a nice vibe on the Ignite in general. People are friendly. Nice keynotes, but it's really hard. It's like three hours into the day one to understand.
Okay.
Are people super excited or not? I think our stock didn't jump too much. I think it went up for 1% or like that after the keynote. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
And do you have an idea about the audience split? Like how many devs versus how many admins?
No, I don't unfortunately any of that statistics, unfortunately.
Okay. Cool. So I guess it's time to go through some of the announcements that you have seen or partly seen.
Yeah. Let me share my screen and let me hide your video feed. Oh, it did that automatically. Beautiful.
Perfect.
So this is the main blog post, which is from the Microsoft 365 blog. And then we can, so let's go through this one, a few additional detailed blog posts, and then go to articles, community articles as well for this week. But let's quickly glance the things and announcements. And although the Teams is getting a lot of love, Teams is getting improved, it's really turning to be as the hub for teamwork, which basically means that it is the application where we are now integrating a lot of the other applications as well. One of the announcements today was that you can actually have a Yammer app in the team, which for those customers who are using Yammer for the company-wide communications, absolutely makes sense. And then the Teams is more for the Teams collaboration. I think Yammer is widely used in larger companies for the, let's say, the wider communications, and then Teams are more for the project level communications as well. Then there's also some of the solution templates and structures and models and a lot of additional improvements on the Teams side as well. Not a dev stuff, but we'll get to the dev stuff in a second as well. What did you like about the new Microsoft Edge logo, by the way?
Exactly. I was like, yeah, I gave it a shot. I'm not a big fan of Edge. Like, I don't know why would I use
it. I asked about the logo, not about the...
I know, but it's like, yeah, it's a wave. It doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't really mean anything to me. Okay. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
But for Microsoft, for Windows users, I think it's a big deal.
It is
working. I've been using this now for a long time. The profiles, everything else just works really, really well. And it's now in the release candidate level, and it's targeted to go live on January 15th, 2020. What was actually cool about this one, I don't know if it's super cool or not, but it's almost like also kind of a scary, is that it actually have an IE11 mode. So, and that's actually needed for enterprises because one of the problems for people still using the IE 11 is that there are applications which only works in IE, which is such an idiotic thing. And I don't, it's a pity that people made those while back. And now it's basically the number one reason why companies are using IE because they don't have money or time or let's say ways of upgrading those existing solutions. So they will need to keep on using IE 11. Now, using then the Microsoft Edge, the new one, they can still access those old applications in IE11 mode, but then use the modern web browser in the normal websites, which don't have to be backward compatible. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Moving on things, Office mobile app. So this is basically same as office.com. So you sign in and you'll see all of the relevant information for you using OBS and Microsoft Graph for accessing the latest files and latest sites which are being accessed and all of that stuff. So pretty cool as well. More for the development side of the house is Fluid Framework. This is some of the blog posts will say that it's a protocol or it's a technology or it's a framework, but basically it's technology which enables, for example, taking a segment of a document from the original Fluid document and copy-pasting them to, let's say, Outlook email, to Teams, to SharePoint, and as an example, as a table. And then it doesn't matter where the table is being updated after that in any of those services where it's actually located, it's going to update the original backend article as well, which is actually
nice. So in a way, everything is a web part.
I don't know what they actually call. I can't remember what was the decision on what we call those Fluid fragments or whatever what they will be, or document fragments. But yeah, they're web widgets or whatever they are.
That allow authors to deconstruct content into collaborative building blocks.
Building blocks, yeah. But what do we call those building blocks? That's what I'm kind of
building blocks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Document building blocks. Anyway. What's really cool about this one as well is that if you are a developer, you can actually take advantage of the Fluid framework or protocol for your usage. So you don't actually need to implement, as an example, that Fluid fragment or a component. You can just have an SPFX web part or a Teams tabs or whatever, and that's taking advantage of the real-time collaboration channel. So that's actually pretty cool. Way of communicating between multiple people across the world if you have a scenario where that's needed. So,
and also interesting thing when you think about like people who view documents, are they allowed to edit the contents or change the content in a fragment, and how does that going to be enforced per permissions across the experiences? It's really a challenging thing to implement in solid way, but if done correctly, this will really become powerful.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So it's interesting to see. There will be, we're announcing a public preview and a private preview for developers. Basically, you can actually, if I'm not mistaken, you can already use, yes, you can, it's fluidpreview.com. Where you can actually create Fluid articles and then you can take advantage of the Fluid experience. And for the developers, there's a private preview where you can actually subscribe to that one. So let's actually get that URL listed in the blog summary as well. It's apparently a form. So.
Yes, of course it is.
What else would it be? Just sign up, and then our Fluid people will contact you on the additional details. So,
cool.
Good. Cortana. Cortana can start reading your emails on your Outlook iOS app, which is kind of interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how well it can do that in Finnish. So,
yeah, but I mean, how many emails do you actually do get in Finnish?
That's fair. That is that. You're absolutely correct on that.
Probably one.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, not that many. That you're absolutely correct on that. Artificial intelligence in Office, presenter coach as an example, and then all of the ideas and studio slide ideas and all of that stuff is getting a lot of improvements. I think people were testing the presenter coach for Ignite, and a lot of people who were saying that that's really, really cool. So it's basically giving you insights on your pace, giving you insights if you're using words which should not be used.
For the abs and arms.
Exactly. It's pretty cool stuff, definitely. Microsoft and Project.
And also for that, it also has a great tip where it sees that you read up text from slides, which is really cool.
Because
that goes beyond just listening to your voice, but just actually looking, okay, so what are you showing now on a slide versus what are you saying, actually?
Yes, because also when you're presenting, it's not about let's stop writing those bullet point slides, because that's not what we should be then explaining and presenting. So the bullet point slides might be useful as a summary after all, after the actual presentation, but that's not something, it shouldn't be, presentation or slides should not be built for the presenter so that the presenter remembers what to say. That's not how presentations work, but that's not how it should work. So. Good. Microsoft Project, new version on that one, completely revamped UI, and it's using a lot of the capabilities. It's part of Microsoft 365 family, using Power BI, Power Apps, and Flow to automate things. So pretty cool. It's been pretty silent for a while for Microsoft Project, so it's good to see a complete revamp on that one. So
yeah.
This one is on our side of the house, so SharePoint, OneDrive SharePoint side of the house, Project Cortex, which is basically our artificial intelligence-driven document management services, which is pretty cool. There's a lot of kind of new things happening behind of this term. As part of that document management services, I think we'll talk about that one during this week, is taxonomy services getting revamped, taxonomy APIs is getting revamped, the UX is getting updated and modernized. So a lot of stuff is getting actually now done on the document management and managed metadata side of the house, which is really cool.
Very cool, yeah.
Now, when you think about it, for example, the managed metadata and the metadata in the documents, this is the classic discussion on should we have mandatory fields and should we use content in the first place? And I'm sure they help, but in the optimal world, content types are completely useless, because all of the context and metadata is getting extracted from the document and the personas who are actually writing the document automatically, right?
Well, I guess at the end of the day, in theory, yes, but at the end of the day, it comes down to people and how people think. Because if you project on them this new concept of, no, let us enrich your documents directly with data, so like, then be like, no, that is light years away from where we are, what we think. We are here still using folders on a shared drive network. Let us do folders first, let us take this first step, and then...
But that's definitely still an option. That's not the problem. I think that obviously what you're saying is reality in a lot of the components. They're still working with folders and the file systems and everything else. But then at the same time, we as a Microsoft, as an example, as an engineering team, we need to come up with the vision of the future so that people understand that maybe the existing ways of working is not optimal way of working, right?
Absolutely. And I guess it's also an interesting thing, like when you think about all the concepts like digital workplace and so forth, like oftentimes people who are, let's say, less voiced or experienced with that, what they will end up doing is, okay, so we need new intranet. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Right? It's about empowering everybody to do their work as effectively as they can in whatever way they need. And that means like you have to start talking to people as opposed to deploying technology.
Yep. Now you start sounding like Microsoft marketing guy. So
sorry. It rubs off in a way.
but it's definitely true. So it's not about technology. It's all about the people. Which actually, by the way, kind of a slight topic. I was watching the keynotes, and we really used again our new, let's say, messaging on the videos as well, which is around empowering people. And I really like the dimension and messaging, let's say, side of that message, which is really around families and helping people and helping people to succeed. So rather than just showing technology and cool stuff and shiny new things. No. It's all about the people and helping people to succeed, which is really great.
Yeah.
Anyway, new Yammer is coming out. So for those who are using Yammer, it is still widely used, and there's definitely a use cases for it. If you're in a smaller company, maybe you're wondering, why would I use Yammer and Teams? But there are kind of a positioning for both of them. And you can always choose to not use one of them. Well, definitely I wouldn't stop using Teams, but hey. I'm so prone to use Teams nowadays rather than even email, because it's just so much easier. But Yammer, definitely an option, and that's getting a lot of new love this year as well. I think they call it Year of Yammer,
correct,
which is being visible in the Ignite as well. On Microsoft Search, there's new innovation getting announced. So there's a lot of improvements here as well. And there's a custom API, a Graph API, getting announced on this side as well, which definitely is a more
very cool
side of the thing. So you're able to hit that Microsoft Graph, Microsoft Search corpus and data using a Graph APIs, which is brilliant.
Really nice. And I mean, that's been awaited for a long time. I believe that the moment the Graph or even before that, the unified API become announced, everyone's like, okay, so search, because now I want to have like a single place, because oftentimes like search is the easiest way to search through all the data you have, right? And then you will, the one thing that we didn't have is a unified endpoint to all of that. Now you always had to go to SharePoint and so forth and so on. So finally, it's really cool to see that it is available now.
Yeah. It took me a while. As an example, in Office clients, the search is now on the top bar. So for me, it actually took a while, and I was like, where is the search? Why isn't it the Outlook? Because Outlook search is getting now promoted in the top bar as well.
Yes.
Which was highly confusing. It's like, where did my search go? And they said, well, yeah, have a look on 2 centimeters up. There it is. You can find it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I can imagine for you, it's even more complex, because you often probably run on the dog food builds, and these change like every, I don't know, day?
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's definitely one of the downsides. I don't know actually what's getting always announced. That's the new thing, because I've been using that for a while already. So.
Oh, so we announced this? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And also here on the search, video search, acronym search, semantic search. So there's a lot of investments on this one, which is great. There's actually also investments on the samples we're using, the Graph APIs on this one. I know that Mikael Svensson is also working on updates on the search web parts, if you want to build a modern search experience. They have a session actually on that one this week as well.
Perfect.
Microsoft Stream is getting a lot of love. Unfortunately, not yet API surface, official API surface for it, which is a pity. So which would be highly useful, using an API to push the videos in. But there's really kind of this one was really cool demo. So reduction of the background noise. So you have the video already in Stream, and then you can go and hey, optimize this video, which is super cool. It optimizes the audio on the video automatically. It's really, really cool.
Well, but I mean, if we applied it to our recordings at times, there would be a long pause, like you wouldn't hear.
Sure. Oh, you mean removing all of the noise from this discussion? Yeah, that's good. Cool. Workplace analytics, then there's a Power Platform integration with Teams, Office Scripts. Well, that's really cool, getting the Power Apps there as well. Office Scripts is basically the VBA macro thingy, but this is now in JavaScript. Woo-hoo.
Really cool.
Pretty cool. So it's understandable what it's actually doing and transforming there. A lot of security stuff. We're not going to go through this one by one. Their insider risk management, compliance score, which is kind of interesting. So you can actually understand how to improve the compliance within a company. So driving better use cases, better ways of doing business as well.
The one thing that is very interesting there is that whenever you see that things like compliance, security, they seem to be going, let's say, towards the breadth of the scope, the cloud, as opposed to really depth, right? They will look at things like, do you have your MFA in place? Let's say the simple things, and then across the breadth, but not like, okay, so what about your custom code? What about security? What about sharing content with anonymous links? Like, you know, like going more in depth, because that also unlocks a bunch of other issues that might still affect you.
True, but again, I would say that's just logistics. We first start with the low hanging fruits, and then we start
adding
it is. If you think about, for example, Azure, what was it? Azure billing support or the cost support thingy, which is explaining how do you spend the money. It wasn't as good as it is nowadays when they initially started that. So it's just a matter of seeing if there's usage for this and customers are happy, yes, it will get more love and resources and time. If customers don't care, well, then customers don't care.
Exactly.
So But really cool to see this kind of admin side of the house improving on these sections as well. Onboarding hub, that's pretty cool. Office 365 groups, well, quite fundamental functionality, which is nowadays quite well hidden actually, because it's behind of the team, it's behind of the SharePoint site and all of that, but it's getting a lot of additional background information and improvement as well.
All right, so we are done with article 1 out of 5.
Yes. And this we is gonna have take already- five- hours.
We are here to please, right?
Yeah, I think we need to step up the game. Just pinpoints, fluid is fluid, future is fluid, from Jeff Tepper. What's really cool about this one also, fluid is being developed in the Office extensibility team who reports to Jeff. But for those who are in the SharePoint framework side of the house, we are looking into using the SharePoint framework toolchain together with Fluid whenever you're implementing Fluid components as well, which is pretty cool.
So, any GA, when can we expect some first previews?
We do have a developer blog post, which is a super long blog post related on capabilities and all of that. We're not going to deep dive on all of this, just saving some time here. But I think, where was it? We said related on that one. This one is saying, I'm not 100% sure that this is accurate, but let's see how it goes. Where is it actually? No, it's not saying that. In a few weeks. No, it's actually saying that correctly. Let me zoom in slightly. It is saying that, now I zoomed out. There we go. No. Here we go. To better support more diverse projects across applications, we are also taking powerful tooling developed by SharePoint, the SharePoint framework, and deriving a new cross Microsoft 365 projects and solutions. So now it's official. We are officially working towards this. Obviously, we've been working towards this for quite a long time internally.
But now you're working on it officially.
Officially. So we are taking the SharePoint framework tooling, SharePoint framework component model, SharePoint framework web part models, and all of this stuff, and then we are introducing a Microsoft 365 objects or Microsoft 365 components, whatever they will be called, because apparently we are not making a decision in this blog post yet. There's an ongoing internal debate on what we want to call this. Mm-hmm. But basically, conceptually, there will be a Microsoft 365, let's say, components, which again then decide, are they going to be surfaced in Teams or SharePoint or in Office add-ins or wherever. So pretty cool.
Nice. Really cool.
It's the promise what we've been kind of talking openly, semi-openly in a community calls a few times, but now it's truly official. So really cool stuff.
But I mean, if you think about all of that, right, like imagine how much effort has to go across all the workloads, like Teams, like Office, Documents, yep. Web, to support even the notion of something that you can build once on a web tech and deploy it everywhere, right? Yep. You cannot start with components because, okay, then you have it, but then they cannot land anywhere, right? So I guess it's a double effort. Like, sure, you have to have the building blocks, but then you also need to have the places to put it on.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, and related on this one, I don't think it's actually super visible in here. There's so much text, though. The Office add-ins built with SharePoint Framework is coming to preview as part of the 1.10 release of SharePoint Framework. So that's going to be on the preview side of the house in 1.10, but we're looking into then releasing that as the GA in 1.11 or so, unless there's still really last minute massive surprises.
Nice.
But then again, technically implement, for example, for Outlook Web Access, you can create components using the same tooling which have been learned to use already on SharePoint Framework, and you'll just target Outlook Web Access as the target, and poof, it will work over there as well.
That would be really cool, especially when you think about the hardest parts that you have to do, but the first things you have to do, which is auth. Like that's been always a challenge to get it right across the web and clients, and now if that is off the plate, well, if it just works, brilliant.
Yep, and obviously, if you think about the advantages in the past for Outlook Web Access or Office add-ins in general, you always it was the guidance was more like, hey, create a website and then use this Office.js. which actually doesn't give you that much as a starting point, because then you need to figure out a lot of things on top of it. So now when we're using the SharePoint framework or the Microsoft 365 components model in the future, that really means that you get much more out of benefits. So automatic hosting of your component, as an example, deployment, CDN automatically, all of the Graph API access, custom API access, all of that stuff just magically work. So, and you are executed in the context of Office 365, so you are authenticated, and it's a really great setup. Now, related on that one also, for now, as an example, if you implement your Teams tabs using SharePoint framework, you still need to deploy your SharePoint framework solution in the app catalog in the SharePoint, which is slightly weird when you think of it if the solution is targeted only for Teams. So kind of related on this one, we're working on the unified delivery. And then as part of the next steps related on the unified delivery, there will be unified tenant app catalog, which is for everything. And you're able to control all of the settings from there. And as part of all of that, that this is still future, not announced today, but there will be then app store support for Microsoft 365 components or whatever they will be called at that point as well. So.
Cool.
It is all coming together, finally.
Yes, it's the master plan combines, yes.
At least now, to be fair, and let's be transparent and open on the expectations, at least now we know what is the master plan. Now, when will it be complete? That's a separate discussion, right?
It always is, right?
It's a one step at a time journey. One step at a time, we're getting these bits and pieces out. So, but we'll get there. So now it's at least publicly open. What is the plan? So, which is really cool. Now, moving on things, content collaboration throughout Microsoft 365 Ignite announcements. Let's be relatively fast on these. From Mark, expanded views and list libraries. So you can see that there's no left menu at all. So you can expand if you click the button in the top right corner. Power Apps integration better, and that's in SharePoint libraries as well now. List and library cards in design formatting. Conditional formatting ruler built for the list rendering, so we're able to create rules on the render logic in here as well, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Alternating row view formatting, makes perfect sense. There's a really lot of investments on that optimized list experience for the future. This one, super important thing as well.
Big thing.
In dynamic data, which sounds like, what does that mean? No, it's web part connections, as an example, is what part of the dynamic data. Or dynamic data enables web part connections. So that's one dynamic data piece out of it. So like in the picture, when you select a document, and we can have a document or file viewer, which then shows the document based on selection. And it's a fair thing to say, finally.
yes.
Why did it took so long? What's with that?
Well, reasons.
This one is pretty cool as well. So Teamify is going to be improved. So when you Teamify, you can select which of the articles and pages is going to be its own tabs, or which of them going to be channel if there's multiple document libraries in the SharePoint site. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
And then a few additional things there as well. Now, that didn't include the intranet improvements, which means SharePoint home site is now rolling out, super important thing. Additional branding abilities, co-branding in mobile, Fluent design system, SharePoint Teal as a default theme, by the way. So when you create a new SharePoint site pretty soon in the future, that's going to be colored by Teal, so the default color.
We're now moving away from the blue that was around since SharePoint 2013, right?
Correct. That is correct. Yeah.
About time.
That is true. That's true. Additional header options, additional site footer options, updates to page news web parts, image resizing automatically in a page. So that's pretty cool. News filtering, Yammer conversation web part V2, my feeds web part, the stock images. So really cool stuff as well. News and page scheduling, about time, right?
Yes.
Multilingual capabilities, about time.
Yes.
And I tested that myself. It does work. So it doesn't translate the full Chrome, because in the Chrome or in the settings page, as an example, some of the labels might be considered content, some are not. But to be fair, in navigation, title, the page, all of that is getting translated. So it is really cool implementation as well.
Nice.
And then, where is it? Was I too fast? There we go. I actually completely
looked through it. Yeah, it's like you missed the only picture or the biggest picture in the article.
That's what happens. But why this is important is that we have the new lookbook, so lookbook.microsoft.com. This is the new design, new implementation. What's really cool about this one is that you can actually have a look on the new design examples. So there's different set of samples. The landing is a good example of a design which is intended to be used, for example, in the root side of your tenant. And we do have all of the tech to make this happen. So you can provision, for example, this, or you can create a communication site which looks like this, and then reassociate that to be in the root of the tenant. So that's going to be then your landing page, the company landing page. Now, even better, so this site actually has a lot of information on what's included, on how this was actually done, what are the web parts, and then if you click the link, it will open up more details around the quick links. But it gets even better. You can actually click add to your tenants to make the provisioning happen of this template to any tenant within the world. And that's insanely cool. Because now it's going to do the authentication dance. Azure AD, come on, you can do that. There we go. And it's nothing more than actually providing an email where we get a notification when the creation is done. Then the URL, I'm going to use something random like the landing 89. Let's check that the URL is free.
It's taken.
And no, it's not. provision. That's going to do some validation. This, by the way, works only for tenant administrators, this section. But really, really cool. It's validating prereqs. It's going to confirm. I'm going to click that one. And there we go. The provisioning has started. And we're going to actually get the email, like I said. Or if we keep this window open, whenever the provisioning is completed, this link will turn to be clickable. So you're able to click that and get to the site, and it will look exactly like in the picture. So, which is really, really cool. So, and by the way, you can definitely create as many as you want to any tenant in the world, as long as you're a tenant administrator. Lookbook.microsoft.com. There we go. There's multiple designs. You can do provision all of these at the same time. Doesn't matter. It is multi-threading behind the scenes. So you can actually have a look on how they look in real world. And these are really, really nice looking designs. You could use them as a starting point for your new content or your new infrastructure, or so your intranet. Or at least for me, when I was still a consultant, one of the challenges exactly was the one that I need to prep something for the customer tomorrow. I need to have a cool looking stuff. How would I do that? And then you click through and set the customer colors and all of that. Using this model, just get them provisioned and then do a theme change based on the color of the customer. Voila, that's it. You are.
I recall when we discussed, there was just before we started to work on the SharePoint starter kit, like what are the typical elements of an intranet and like what are the different things? And it's really cool to see like how far all of this has come. Like what are the different elements available on a page? What can you do? Vertical sections, vertical layouts, colors, theming, colored sections, all of that. Like that wasn't there initially. And now all of that is there and then some. So it's really, really cool to see where we are with that now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And more is coming, which is really, really cool. So more function.
It
never stops, yes, indeed. This is just the start of the longer journey. Really, if you think about the positioning right now, is that the SharePoint is really the owner of the portal experiences and pages and news in the Microsoft 365 or Office 365. And then the collaboration, which used to be the bread and butter of SharePoint, sure, you can do it in SharePoint site still. And behind of every single team, there's a SharePoint site, but it's more being positioned as part of the team's functionality. So the pages are getting more and more love, and document management is getting more and more love on the SharePoint side of the house.
Definitely. Well, but I guess even with that, right, like I think the experience, like it's not no longer the siloed experience that we had in the past, right? Like you had this document lived here, and if you wanted to do like I think it goes through and through, because when you work on a document, you can directly open a chat within the context of document with somebody else. You can pull them in. And at that point, it's irrelevant whether you are in Teams or not. Like, you work on a document, you want to talk to somebody about that. So technology becomes less relevant. It facilitates our work, but that is it, right?
Exactly. So, I would say, sure, and slightly off the topic, but it's sooner or later we are in a position, hopefully, where it doesn't matter which solution you are using, there's a chat, and the same chat is then on every single solution related on the document or the
You can contact anybody in your org no matter where you are, whether you are in browser, in an office client, mobile app, whether you're in Teams, on a page, on an article, in a document, on an image, whatever.
Yep. Absolutely. Which, by the way, reminded me of the StarterKit reference. Yes, we're working on starting to work on the StarterKit V2, because all of these improvements, we need to refresh the StarterKit completely. But that's a separate topic. Let's get back on that one later. This one was interesting. Let's not, if you're wondering on what's all of the fuss about the Project Cortex and what's included there and what's the cool stuff over there, let's listen this following podcast. No, just kidding.
It takes only 47 minutes. There you go.
Inside of this podcast, if you're watching and listening this as a podcast, we're going to listen another podcast. No. But have a look on the blog post. There's links for the IntroZone podcast, which is around the Project Cortex. And Naomi Monipenny is the leading leader of this project. And then Adam, who's the partner GPM, owning the SharePoint experiences, as an example, is the visitors, and Chris McNulty and Mark Cashman are the people who are hosting this. So really cool summary on what's actually, what is the Project Cortex and what's happening and what does it actually mean? So what's the future direction of this capability as well? Good. There is also Project Cortex pages, so I wanted to link them through on the blog post as well. And through those pages, you can actually apply to a private preview, which might be interesting for those who want to be on the edge of the, what is it, edge of the technology?
The edge of the edge, the cutting edge.
Edge of the cutting edge, yes. Using the edge, right?
Yes.
Whatever. We'll be here the whole evening. Based on this speed, as we're going through these articles. Now, anyway, in the blog post, there's a link for the Project Cortex private preview and additional details, what it is and how you can sign up for it. So there's some resources, videos, and all of that. So really, really cool stuff coming. Now, let's do a few community articles as well, because these were mentioned or published last week, within the last week, and we definitely want to make sure that we're covering this. Now, be careful on revoking SharePoint SPFX service principal grants when you are deleting these things, grant and revoke. I think there was some, let's say, not consistent experiences based on which of these you're actually using for the revoking. I think that was the story of the blog post, right?
There are different ways to do that. You can do it with CLI, you can do it with PowerShell, and you need to pay attention what you do, because at the end, when you remove them, they are gone, and your web parts or whatever you have built will break.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can grant them also using the PowerShell or the CLI. Yes. Correct. So you can grant them back. So that's not a massive deal, but then that would assume that you know what were the grants which were there.
Exactly, because there is no recycle bin for that. Exactly. It's gone.
That's an interesting concept, recycle bin for the permissions.
Why not?
On the next one, from Brent Eli, how to create, build, and run development and production versions of SPFX solution. And this is really around the different targeting and different targeting the different options. So how do I make sure that I differentiate what is a dev and what is a non-dev experience, right?
Exactly. And how can you have side-by-side apps with what are already running in production versus the, let's say, preview of the vNext?
Yeah, exactly. Now, this one is from Yannick. Yes. Code. Build reusable wizard component for your SPFX solutions using React and Office UI Fabric. And that's really around the step numbers, step 1, 2, 3, 4. So clicking next, 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 previous, and kind of a creating that reusable experience as a wizard, kind of a classic UI element. If you're, for example, asking some details for the provisioning, this would be a nice way of doing that. And Yannick is a really, really always detailed on his blog post. So this is a really long blog post and explanation, a lot of code as well, how stuff has been implemented in his case. And I think there's a link to his GitHub as well.
Of course.
The solution from there. Enable a SharePoint modern document sets programmatically. So how do we actually do this programmatically? How do we enable document sets, the feature in the site collection features library? And is this actually, I don't want to confirm because I didn't have time to read this. There we go. So there is there's an interesting behaviors apparently now related on custom script being enabled or disabled dependency on a document set. Now, Joel did report this using the MVP channels a while back, but we didn't have a time, at least I didn't have a time to double check, is this actually a bug or not? Because there's a now as interesting requirement of disabling the no script. So having scripts enabled to be able to actually use document sets in Moodle. And that doesn't really sound like it's a by design.
Intended feature, yes.
Yeah, exactly. It might be an oversight in our side, and we'll need to get it fixed. But it's a blog post which is currently explaining the current model around that one.
Yeah.
Video web part from Dimitri. Which is really around having a video web part in SPFX. So having a link, having a configuration shared as a GitHub implementation. So really nice, simple web part to actually show your videos. So pretty cool.
And you have it twice.
Exactly the same. It is so good. I had it twice on my No, really cool stuff, also available as an open source solution in GitHub. But I think that's it for the article. So let me actually close this one and let's close up the video. So let's see how many videos and how successful the video recording was, because there was a small hiccup at some point, but we'll see how it went. Anything what you're going to do this week? It's pretty obvious what I'm going to do this week.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to work. I'm going to try to stay on top of some announcements. And basically I'm curious to see what's going to be released more and what will the opinions be about whatever is new and direction that Microsoft is taking on cloud.
Yep. Yep. Makes perfect sense. Well, I'll be obviously hanging here in the booth or podcasts and all of that. Which is always fun. So having a it's good to meet up people as well. So definitely, and it's good to hear the feedback around the announcements. But that announcement comment which just said reminded me on the reality of the real world, which is 99% of the world still working on the day-to-day basis. It is actually a fraction of people who are in the Ignite and those people who work on the day-to-day basis, they don't actually get to use the stuff what we announced in here until it actually gets released. So a lot of the stuff which is being kind of talked in Ignite, it's coming sooner or later. So it's the promise of the future always.
Exactly. And I guess for a big part, people buy into that, right? Because people want to know, they want to be convinced that whatever they're going to invest in, that is to stay and that will support them for the coming years.
Yes, absolutely. So is it worthwhile for me to, as a classic example, obviously close to my heart, is it worthwhile for me to invest my time on learning SharePoint framework? Well, absolutely, now that we are actually...
Well, I mean, if you still wonder about that, that is...
Yeah, but you never know. You never know, and there's always the classic fear, which people used to keep on telling, even for SharePoint framework, is that, are you going to release a new model soon? And the answer is no.
I mean... Who's to say what's going to be available in 5 years' time? Mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, if you choose to work in the IT, the one thing that you know for sure is that things will change at some point.
That's true. That is true. There's no way.
If you don't like change, maybe it's not the best place for you to be.
Unless you're a COBOL developer.
I would not know anything about that. Sorry.
Okay. But anyway, I think that's it for this one. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And now I just realized that we really need to start paying attention on the intro, because if people are watching podcasts or listening podcasts, they have no idea who we are.
Also, there, it's not too late. We can still say our names.
That is true. My name is Vesa and you are...
Aldek, and it was pleasure to have you.
As well. So it's great to have you as a visitor in this week. But thank you, everybody, for watching or listening. We'll come up with a new update in a week or so. Yeah, in a week. It's been a week, please.
Bye.
Later. Bye.